take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jump Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Still to come in about an hour from now, Paul DeMarco, a friend from up in Birmingham, and then John Wall, chairman of the Republican Party, as we do every Tuesday. That's coming up, like I said, in that 11 o'clock hour. So please stay tuned. In the meantime, we got a bunch of texts to get to, 251-343-0106. We will get to those in short order. But joining us now on the line, she's Republican nominee for the 2nd Congressional District, that contest against Shamari Figures in November. But Carolee Dobson joining us once again. Carolee, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for coming on. Well, since we last spoke, I mean, you've had kind of a whirlwind. You got on Fox News. You got the Speaker of the House to endorse you. Give us kind of a progress report on how things are going.
Yes, no, it's been an exciting few weeks. A lot of hard work and time on the road, but I'm very grateful for the support, not only of the Republican Alabama delegation, but from congressional members throughout the country. They're recognizing that this is a winnable race and that it is worth, you know, us all kind of galvanizing to really fight the fight to ensure that we maintain control of the House. There are several swing districts throughout the country. And just because Alabama itself is not a swing state doesn't mean that there aren't swing districts like this one. So it's incredibly important that we fight tooth and nail to keep this seat Republican. Again, not only to ensure that the folks in District 2 have an advocate for conservative values and to fight to undo all the harm that the Biden administration has caused our nation in the past 4 years, but also, again, kind of on a greater scale to ensure that we maintain control of the House and hopefully grow our majority.
It sounds like to me, though, that we were worried about this initially all throughout, that national Republicans would be convinced that this isn't a winnable seat, and they would say we need to just kind of stay away from this one. They'll spend our resources elsewhere. That hasn't been the case at all so far this cycle, has it?
No. Again, I think, of course, the mainstream media back in October, November was very quick to try to label this as a unequivocal Democrat seat that it, you know, was in the blue column without question. But polling indicates otherwise. The March 5th primary, where there was just a 161 vote difference between overall turnout of both parties, indicates otherwise. And folks nationally, you know, whether it's the Speaker or congressional leaders kind of throughout all the country, Senator Tom Cotton has endorsed me. So, you know, we've gotten a lot of support throughout the country from folks that are wanting to ensure that Republicans are aware that this is a winnable seat, but we've got to fight for it.
And I mean, you have essentially done that, right? I mean, it's been every day since you wrapped up the nomination.
Yes, no, I've definitely been advocating for the, you know, the attention to this race because, Congresswoman Stefanik, who has endorsed me and been such a supporter and advocate, she herself said that this had been sort of a sleeper race. And again, people don't necessarily look to, you know, they think swing district, they think Pennsylvania, they think California. But this is an exciting race, and this race in District 2 could determine control of the House. So there is going to be a lot of, there is and should be a lot of national media attention, and I'm grateful for that. And again, grateful for advocates like Congresswoman Stefanik, like Congressman August Pfluger out in West Texas. Folks throughout the country have really stepped up to get behind me, you know, encourage me and again, draw attention to this race and how important it is.
And it's really, I imagine, you know, obviously you have an opponent and he is tied to the Biden administration. He's tied to the Biden DOJ. you're really kind of running against that, right? It's the status quo there is what's got to be fixed in Washington, D.C.
Yes. My opponent, you know, was part of the Obama administration and then was a deputy to Merrick Garland, which I think we're, kind of daily seeing the, I guess, interconnectivity between the Biden DOJ and, some of these lawfare proponents against Donald Trump. I think Breitbart actually had a story that was broke a couple of days ago about the third ranking Department of Justice official quitting just days after Trump announced his 2024 run. So we see again the kind of interwovenness of the Biden DOJ with some of the miscarriage of justice, especially with respect to President Trump. And I think that's concerning.
Yeah, your colleague Bradley, I mean, your former high school classmate, Bradley J, there with a story. But, Caroline, Shamari Fingers is tied to that. I mean, like, he has to own that. That is his. I mean, you look at his resume, and I'm not going to deny, I mean, he's got an impressive resume working for presidential administrations and whatnot, but not all that's good what went on there. I mean, he has to, like, own a part of that, at least, I would think.
Yes, certainly. And again, just, you know, kind of the fact that he has not lived in the district since, I guess, since he went off to University of Alabama for undergrad and law school, hasn't lived in the state really since he went to work for the Obama administration. I also lived out of state. I went to college and law school out of state. My first few years of practicing were out of state. But, you know, I made a conscious decision. I took a pay cut 5 years ago because I wanted to raise my kids in Alabama. And so my husband and I moved back to Alabama just a couple months before my first child was born. But she was born in Alabama. And we moved back here because I wanted to raise my kids with Alabama values. I care about Alabama. I love Alabama. And I wanted to help to make it better. I didn't know, you know, in what way that would be, whether in the private sector, in public service. But we've been back here for 5 years. I could have never foreseen, that the districts would be redrawn, that there would be an opportunity for me to publicly serve the state. Whereas, again, you could kind of look, Shamari certainly has a very impressive resume. I know that he is hardworking. But the facts are that he's been in D.C. and he resigned his job to run for this race, moved back to the district to run for this race. And so I think you kind of have to look at motivating factors too, and why someone's running. I think that's very important in choosing your candidate as well.
Joined by Caroline Dobson. She is the Republican nominee for Alabama's 2nd Congressional District. Her contest against Shamari Fingers later this year in November on the general election ballot. Caroline, I got to still imagine, though, when you're out and about, it's still immigration. And that has to be, like, what's front and center. But let's talk about that. You get into office, what's the direction we need to do? When Trump first got into office, or when he was running, the left got into their hysterics, as they usually do at 16, about deportation squads and that. But I think the American people right now are saying, hey, we need to start looking at deporting those who are here illegally. It's not it's not taboo, maybe, as they are trying to make it out to be.
Yes. No, I mean, the fact is there are an estimated 8 to 10 million illegal aliens that have come across the border due to Biden's open border policy since Biden was sworn in. And so that number of just the sheer number without even, you know, addressing the drugs and the crime and, you know, who might be terrorist cells or, you know, it just the sheer number is going to cause our social services, which are already strained, to totally dry up. So we have got to, we certainly have to kind of eliminate this sanctuary city mentality. I mean, if there's an illegal alien that commits a crime of any kind, you know, they or is apprehended, they need to be deported. And then again, you know, unfortunately, the Biden administration has continued to implement these migrant worker programs in an overly bureaucratic manner, in such a way that it's far more likely for an American farmer or an American business owner who's trying to utilize the migrant worker program, trying to follow the rules, it's more likely for them to be slapped on the hand by the Biden administration than it is for an illegal alien who commits a crime to actually be deported. And so we've got to fix that. You know, it is undeniable that there are jobs that Americans won't do anymore. And so we've got to figure out a way to streamline that process, but at the same time, secure our borders and make sure that, you know, any apprehended person who comes here illegally is deported, and also have to ensure that those folks are not registered to vote, which I saw recently. You know, Wes Allen was kind of sounding the alarm about Democrats trying to register illegal aliens to vote. That is certainly very concerning.
And these half measures by the Biden administration, I suspect there will be more. That's what they are. They're just campaign gesturing, trying to appear to be proactive, but kind of played it both ways.
Mm-hmm. No, certainly. I think we're seeing a lot of that. The Biden administration, obviously very concerned about November, and so trying to kind of garner votes when and where they can. You see that with some of the regulations that are coming out of the Biden administration. For instance, they have put incredibly onerous regulations on nursing homes, for instance, all in an attempt to try to garner the support of some nursing unions. But it's estimated that these new nursing home regulations, which there are so many nursing homes throughout the district, and they serve such an important role, especially in a lot of our small towns and rural communities, it's estimated that the Biden administration's nursing home regulations will cost the average nursing home facility an additional $300,000 a year to comply. So it's going to force nursing homes out of business. Again, you look at these small towns, they're disproportionately elderly, and as far as kind of the demographics, and nursing homes are such an important way of ensuring that our elderly can receive the care that they need and also remain in the communities that they've contributed to their whole lives, where their kids and family are. So that's the Biden administration, all in an attempt to try to woo a certain sector of voters, because his polling is abysmal and increasingly so daily.
Well, it underscores this point to me and everything you're talking about. We know Alabama's going to go for Trump. We know it's going to be Republican, and we're still, obviously you're having to battle it out for your seat, but keeping Congress and winning as many Republican seats in Congress as possible is the hedge in case you do get a Biden second term, because a Biden second term, Carolina, there's the midterm in 26, but I think you start to kind of see the tether snap and they're going to do a lot more, given that he's in office four more years, and you got to have Congress and other checks on that potential there.
Yes, no. Well, and I mean, I think the reality is a Biden second term would ultimately be a Harris term. And I think just given the age of both candidates, President Trump just celebrated a birthday, and he seems to be in amazingly great shape, but he's 78. And, Biden's in his 80s. So I think we're also going to really see the vice, or it should be that the public also looks very long and hard at the vice presidential candidates, because frankly, I don't think they've ever been more significant in a race. And, you know, in some races, it's kind of a non-event. But, again, I think just given the age of both candidates, the VP candidates are really important too. It's really important that voters consider them.
Yeah, and that is, it should be that always, but given, I think particularly Biden and him stumbling around out there.
sure.
I mean, that's gonna bother a lot of people. And the White House is like CYA mode here, saying that it's out of context or it's faked or whatever. But that right there, even more so, Trump seems to have all his wits about him. There's clearly something going on there.
Right. Well, I mean, when he, by his own counsel, is not competent to stand trial, and yet he is our commander in chief, who would, you know, be entering into treaties on behalf of our nation, you know, leading our troops. It's terrifying. And at this point, I don't see how a Democrat can actually, you know, continue the fantasy that Biden is remotely competent.
Carolina, we're almost out of time here, but before we let you go, folks want to get involved with your campaign, help out. It's going to be real close down to the wire, so this is an important seat. Tell them how they can learn more.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jeff, and I'm so humbled by the support thus far. I just want to thank everyone who's voted for me, put up a yard sign, prayed for me. Please continue to do that. Certainly, of course, also would value your support, because this is going to be an expensive race, and the Democrats are going to pour in a ton of money. There's no replacing hard work, and I know that I will outwork my opponent, but it still does cost money to run ads and get up on billboards. So would appreciate anything you're willing to contribute, or any word of mouth, or again, of course, prayers mean the most. We have, our website is Dobson for Congress. That's D-O-B as in Bravo, S-O-N-F-O-R, Congress.com. And then we are also on X, Instagram, Facebook, and Truth Social, Dobson for Congress.
Carolee, we appreciate your time, and we'll talk again.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You do the same. All right, guys, we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Can't say